Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? As fathers, finding other dads to rock with isn't easy, or is it? This week, we help you connect with other dads, and I am honored to have the founder of the City Dads Group, Max Snyder, representing with us. What's up, Matt?
Hanging in there.
Hanging in there, man, during COVID. It's been fun. It's been a fun New York year.
It's been a fun year for everybody, I think. It's looking out west at the fires and obviously COVID and racial injustice and school, trying to get kids back to school. It's every day is... It's hard to open the newspaper.
Sure is, man. It's one of those years that we wish we could throw away. You know, it's like I wish we could do something like snap our fingers and go back in time or something. But, you know, it's a reset that maybe we needed, you know, just not in that form.
Certainly in a lot of ways, it's a reset we needed, and giving time for people to really think about what is returning back to normal look like. What do we want to return back to, and what do we want to change up?
Yeah. So I brought you here because, you know, I'm one of these big time pushers of dad groups. Like growing up,
maybe the biggest.
You're the biggest. But to me, you know, when we did groups growing up, it was a group at school, right? Like a debate club, or you had the option of joining a gang. Right. So it was like this is something that we lived with all our lives. But as we became older, we kind of like separated from people. And when I found the City Dads group, it made me realize that my circle of friends were good, but I needed more. What led you to start a City Dads group? Like the first one was New York City Dads, but what made you start that?
Well, it was really my co-founder, Lance, who you know well. He and I were teachers together, PS 86 in the Bronx. I decided to take 3 years off when my first son was born. The way he tells the story is that he was going to follow in my footsteps and take time when his son was born. Mm-hmm. The same time my second was coming along, and he called me up and said, what have you been doing in New York City with your kids? Everything is for moms. It's mommy and me playgroups and mommy and me yoga and mm-hmm. mommy and me music class. And I said, I've been hanging out with lots of mommies and lots of nannies and hadn't really thought that much about it, to be honest with you. But Lance, as you know, is proactive and he's social, and we were going to be getting together anyway, and he wanted to see if we could find some other dads. So he was really the one that put NYC Dads Group on Meetup, and that was November 2008, so almost 12 years ago.
Wait a minute. So you said that you guys, when he asked you, right, what you've been doing, you said, I've been hanging out with mommies and nannies. In my world of men, right, that's not a bad thing, right? Like sometimes, like I think growing up, most of us males just wanted to be around the females. Why was it different hanging out with women as opposed to men? Because I think there's some dudes out there that would say, I don't want to hang out with dudes. I'd rather hang out with the women.
Yeah, no, I think I've met some very nice moms, but moms, they were a clique. I live in Lower Manhattan, and they're a group of moms all about the same age, all about the same demographic, and they didn't need to befriend a dad. Mm-hmm. And I found that nannies were nicer to me, and moms that were kind of outside that clique were nicer to me and more welcoming to me, whether a lot of older moms, or even moms that weren't white would be, we were all kind of on the outside of the clique together. So in many ways, I met some great moms, but I think I didn't realize what I was missing by hanging out with other dads. Lance really pushed us to meet other dads and create this group. I realized that I had been isolated and I wasn't really close to other at home moms or at-home dads at that point. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to compare notes and even be a mentor. I felt like I had been through 3 years of being an at-home dad. So somebody like Lance that was in the first few weeks and months, I could be a mentor.
And so you felt like an asset.
It was just, I had learned something after being home for 3 years. And as you know, it's quite, can be traumatic. It's a lot of ups and downs, especially when you're getting used to it. Going out into the world and saying you're a stay-at-home dad is not that easy, especially, or I mean, really anywhere, but a place like New York where you are, your worth is based on what kind of job title you have on your business card. When you go out and say, I'm an at-home dad, you can get some funny looks. But so meeting some other guys, whether they're at-home dads or just actively engaged in their kids' lives, it was nice to connect in real life.
You ever had dads that weren't at-home dads come to you and question you as a man for being home with your kids within the group?
Definitely not within the group. I think the guys that tend to join a dad's group, I think, are recognizing the importance of fatherhood, and whatever your path to fatherhood is valid. I find dads to be a lot less judgmental with each other than what I hear from moms about each other. So I've never, certainly in a group environment, had anybody question the decision. If anything, we meet a lot of dads who work full time or work a lot of the time and say, I wish I could stay home. I wish I could do what you do, really focus on your kids. And I mean, I for a long time, I said it's a privilege, and I left it at that. It is a privilege, but it's a choice we made. And my wife and I made this choice thoughtfully. And we thought about money. We thought about what we wanted our lives to look like. And we thought about the big picture of what we wanted our lives to look like. She's taking care of a piece of it. I'm taking care of a piece of it. Together, we take care of a lot of it. So kind of that's the attitude I bring to these conversations. And I don't look back at really anybody that questioned me as a man. And I think part of it is I wouldn't hear it even if somebody tried.
I think you wouldn't hear it because you're so accustomed to it, right? Where it's already like you set the goal. You said it perfectly. Like your wife and yourself spoke about the future. You decided what the future was going to look like, or we're going to attempt to make it look like, right? And then you just focus on that. I don't think that's easy right. For all dads. Like, I think some dads, especially like that newbie dad, that first year dad, even if he's at home or if he's at home dad or lost his job or working from home, he still might feel a little iffy. Right. So I think like you learned how to like block all of the nonsense.
Well, it took a long time. I remember in those first few years, I would always say I'm at home, but I was a teacher before my son was born, and I'm likely going to go back. So I was always attaching a time frame to being at home. And it really wasn't until I finally owned it that I got comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, it's funny because when, you know, before I had children, you know, a dad's group wasn't even a thing to me, right? The minute I had a child, it still wasn't a thing for me. Like, I thought I had my circle. You know, I thought I had my five or six friends that they were going to have kids. We were going to grow together. Our kids were going to play together forever. You know, I was a little naive. You know, I thought it was just going to stay the same. When I met you guys, the City Dads group, I was an at-home dad, but I was an entrepreneur, right? And when I met you guys, I felt awkward. And it wasn't something that you did. It was me. Like, I was looking at you guys saying, wow, like, these guys are stay-at-home dads, and they're proud. I'm over here at home working from home, and when somebody tells me you're a stay-at-home dad, I get offended. So I think for me, the importance of having a city dads group or any dads group is to try to get out of like your own bubble, where I was like encapsulated in my own bubble of thoughts and I couldn't see anything else right? Until I met you guys.
Well, and I mean, I think I always try to remember everybody's on a journey, even people that I disagree with on a range of topics. Everybody's on a journey, and you said it, like, getting out of your own bubble, having this opportunity to meet people. I mean, we would likely not have met if it weren't for our dad's group. Yeah. I mean, thousands of guys that have joined NYC Dads Group I would not have met, would not have gone to the pub in their neighborhood. I wouldn't have gone to the park near them, the zoos, and had these experiences. And that, I think, for me, has been the best part about it, is really breaking out of the bubble. It's great to connect with other fathers, but it's also just been great to connect with other people on this tie that we have. The fact that we're fathers really seems to be enough to connect us. You've seen it also, like people coming from all walks of life, all over New York City, hanging out together and having a good time.
Yeah, it's insane, because it's like, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, like I didn't think I needed a group like that. I really didn't. And then once I started attending events, it brought out other things, like you were saying earlier, where it was things that I was missing out on, you know, friendship opportunities, right? And cool things to do. Like you covered friendship. Why is that so difficult for guys to do? Like, why is this hard for guys to go up to another guy, not give him the mean look, and be welcoming? Why is that difficult?
You know, I think at some point along the way, and I'll speak for the white community, because that's all I can speak for, but it became weird for men to hang out together. It used to be like men were in the bowling league, or white men were in the Elks Club, or they were in something, or they played golf. And my grandfather played golf every Saturday and Sunday his entire life, basically. So they created these natural places to have friends. And now work prevents us from really being able to have a hobby that we can't. I mean, guys that work full time, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, can't say, I'm going to go play golf on Saturday. They need to get home and be with their families. Yeah. Guys, and these clubs just don't exist anymore. I was on, Jim Higley had a podcast. I was the first guest on his podcast. He compared our dad's group to a bowling league. We're the new version of a bowling league. This is something that guys can be comfortable with, that their partners can be comfortable with. I'm a dad. I'm going to go to the playground on a Saturday morning with other dads and hang out. And the world looks on that as nice and a good opportunity for dads to meet each other. Whereas going and hanging out with guys in a different context on a Saturday morning might not be as accepted.
Yeah, I agree, because I think just looking back at myself, like walking through Manhattan or the Bronx or Staten Island, wherever I'm at, I'm not the quickest to look at another father in the playground and go say hi to him. But what I think you guys did special is that you teach people how to like join a group or bond over special events. Like one of the events that I got to do with you guys, which was a bucket list item for me, was watching the NCAA. I think it was the Sweet 16 or it was the Elite Eight, which was huge. I'm a huge college basketball fan. I love it. I went to that meetup with you guys. I took my son, and everybody that was there became friends. Like we had this one common thing, which was we all wanted to see college basketball.
Yeah.
And it made it easier for me to say, hey, I'm James, by the way. Who are you?
Well, exactly. And I mean, that's the reason I was hanging out with mommies and nannies for the first 3 years, is because I wouldn't go talk at the guy that was hanging out at the play. I mean, there was a guy that hung out at the playground every day for a year. I saw him across the playground. Maybe we waved, never had a conversation until I had a dad's group to hang my hat on and say, hey, by the way, we started this dad's group. Maybe you want to join. But just even the thought of going up to some random dude and talking to him was just foreign to me. But creating this opportunity, creating this activity for guys is definitely the to get people to come out, and once they do come out, then they'll come out again. And that's the challenge, is getting them to join and getting them to come out to something. Once we get them to come out to something, they're hooked.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, because I think as a dad, I don't want to try many new things with people I don't know. But when it's something new that I really, really love, I'm willing to try it with people that I don't know. And then after that, we're usually friends. So it's a nice way to form a bond, to form a friendship.
Yeah. And that's our secret sauce. And I know you do this also, is creating an activity, something that guys couldn't do otherwise or probably wouldn't do on their own otherwise. So getting these tickets to the NCAA tournament, Broadway shows, all are great magnets that get guys to come. And that, I mean, all the different pieces of the puzzle have to come together to make that happen. But creating these opportunities for guys to get together and giving them the context of this is something that you can do with your kids definitely makes it all work.
Yeah. So when you first started the group, it was to find things to do. Then it turned into like having friendships, right? But now you also provide all of these special events for people. Was that something that was in the back of your head already, that you wanted to host your own activities instead of just meeting at the park? Or did that just come with more dads joining?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think some people like this about us, some people don't. But we decided early on that we wanted to be loud about who we are. Mm-hmm. Because we wanted to show the world what being active and engaged dads looks like. So we had a blog. I mean, there was no Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at that point. We had a blog, and Lance posted on the blog almost every day, certainly every day that we had a meetup, pictures of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And people love those pictures, like dads hanging out at a playground with their kids. People love going to the art museum. It's amazing to see a group of dads taking their kids to the art museum. So we started to kind of develop a following, and groups started to reach out to us to say, hey, we see that you're having a meetup. Why don't you come to Gymboree and do a trial music class with us? And we said, great, and we'll write about it on our blog. So we had Gymboree gave us a free session with 15 dads to come hang out on Saturday morning and take music class. At some point along the way, I said, it's nice that Gymboree has a marketing budget and can hire people to reach out to us, but what about my neighborhood music school? That's one location that's a nonprofit and barely surviving. Let's do the same for them. So I called them up and said, hey, we've got this dads group. We'd love to come in, and then we can post about it on our blog. And they were all for it and loved it. So it just became this kind of cycle of, we live in New York City. There are 1,000 places we can go and experience the programming. Jazz at Lincoln Center has a kids class. The MoMA has a Saturday morning. Museum of Modern Art in New York City has a Saturday morning class. So it was really kind of taking this opportunity that we had to, mutually beneficial opportunity that we had to promote something that we like that was relevant to our audience, and provide this great thing to the dads. Like, a lot of dads wouldn't have gone from all over the city to Jazz at Lincoln Center to take a Weebop class with their kids.
I think that's the beauty of it. Like, I think besides the friendship, there's two other pieces of it. You know, we'll talk about the knowledge side later. But I think a big piece of joining a dad group, and why I tell people to join, is because you get to try new things. Like, there's things that I've always wanted to try that sometimes I'm willing to pay for, sometimes I'm not. But you guys put it out there, and I get to do it, and I get to try it. It's almost like a trial, right? And we have some fun.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun. And the place we're going is thrilled with us, because we're bringing in this whole new audience. Because most of them assume that moms are the only ones signing up for music class or art class or whatever it is. So They love the idea that there are dads out there doing this. They love a group of dads coming in and hanging out in their space. It's not a secret, obviously, if I keep saying it. that's the key, is creating opportunities for these guys, but also making it mutually beneficial. And that's kind of this public aspect of what we do. Was intended kind of to show the world who we really are, but it also had this side benefit of we have an audience. We have people that care about what we're doing, that see an opportunity in reaching our crowd. And that just ramps things up even more.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that you as a member, you don't have to do everything. There's times that you guys will put up a movie, a free movie, and I just don't want to wake up at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. And it's not held against me. Where now you could actually do things that you like to do. It's not like you're grabbing your kids and your wife and you're going to go do something that you know will be fun for the wife, you know it'll be fun for your kids, but you're going to be bored out your mind. Where now you have some power again. Because I feel that as dads, we give up. Like if a child says, hey, I want to go do Trolls and I want to go put on some makeup, we're going to say, all right, cool, let's go do this. In the back of their heads, we're actually saying, man, don't put no makeup on me. Don't put any of that makeup on me. But I'm going to go anyway just because I want to make you happy. So it feels good being able to pick and choose events that make you, the father, happy, because now you're going to show up even more often.
Well, and not to mention, like, some of this stuff, I mean, Lance has developed this relationship with a couple of different Broadway show PR companies. And I mean, to take 50 families to see The Lion King, or back in the day when we could SpongeBob. Go to Broadway shows.
Or SpongeBob when we sat in the orchestra, you know?
That's huge to be. I mean, that's hundreds of dollars that it would take to take your family to Broadway shows. And so many of the guys, that was the first Broadway show, certainly ever, that their kids had ever been to, but that a lot of guys have never been to a Broadway show themselves. So it's neat to be able to create these opportunities.
Yeah. And the opportunities, like the first time, things are really, really cool. But one thing that I really feel makes you different is that you guys focus on impact over everything else. And you guys really epitomize that, right? And it's with the knowledge. Like, I feel you guys do a great job. And I think any dad group that's out there probably focuses on this also, to try to get this done. It's the knowledge that you provide. Where now you as a father, a brand new father, could come into a dad's group, not know a damn thing, put up a question, and nobody's judging you. You could say the simplest things, like, I don't know how to burp my child. And somebody from the dad group will jump in and say, man, I'll show you how to do it if you need me to. I'll tell you how to do it, but we could go meet up. Can you tell us about the diaper changing program that you guys were doing, like the first time fathers?
The new dad boot camp.
Yeah, the new dad boot camp. Can you describe that? Because I think things like that are things that fathers look at and say, I don't need that. I don't want to try it. But they're saying it because they're afraid. They're afraid, or they don't want people to judge them. But you guys consistently knew this new dad boot camp. Tell me about that. And why?
Yeah, we started it. So we started NYC Dad's Group about 12 years ago. I think it's probably 8 or 9 years ago. We started to think about, how can we grow this? What can we do? What else can we do? And one thing that we thought we could do, and Lance and I were both teachers, you know, we said, let's teach dads how to be new dads. Let's create a workshop. And we set out to writing a curriculum. And then we came across this international company out of California that had written a program, had something ongoing, had been researched for 20 plus years, operated in 47 states and around the world, called Bootcamp for New Dads. And it's a 3-hour workshop that is, the heart of it is, we've got some facilitators that are members of NYC Dads Group that facilitate the conversation, but we invite dads with their babies to come in and talk to dads that are about to have babies. So imagine 10 dads that are about to have babies with talking to 3 dads who are there with their babies, about everything from creating a good parenting partnership to what's in your diaper bag to, what do you do when you think that your partner might be experiencing postpartum depression? So it's really this non-judgmental opportunity for dads to get together and talk about what it's really like to be a brand new dad. And we've heard everything. We've been running them with about 3 times a month for, like I said, 8-9 years, and there's no dumb questions. There's no dumb answers. There's no judgment. And it just is, it's changed. I'll tell you, it's changed. It used to be that women, wives, girlfriends signed their partners up for this, and we would see, we would get the roster, and it would be a bunch of women's names. And now we see that it's dads signing themselves up. They recognize now, my wife is taking all of these classes to get ready to be a parent. I also want to be ready to be a parent. And this is a nice bite-sized session that also is an introduction to being part of a dad's group. Like the idea was to let's talk to new dads right even before they become dads, and then say, let's continue the conversation once you become a dad and want to hang out with us at the playground or the bar or the movie or whatever we're up to.
Yeah, so joining a dad's group, especially one that's affiliated with the City Dads, is pretty simple, right? How hard was it for you to continue running City Dads after the first year? Like, I know the first year you were on a natural high. You were excited, you were educating, you were getting dads together. How difficult was it to devote all of your time to making sure that, that dads not only get representation, but they also have resources for them?
Well, and I think that we have created, Lance and I have created something that we can ramp up and ramp down as needed. So we do give a lot of our time, and it's no coincidence that we went national. We started our podcast the year that our children started kindergarten, because that was the year that we had a full day of kids being at school. But I think we have continued to kind of knock down the walls of who we are to keep it interesting and to keep it, keep that motivation going. I would say right now, it's very hard to keep going, just given everything challenging about it. But, under normal circumstances, I open my email box. You really don't know who might be there wanting to do something, whether it's the New York Times wanting to do an interview or the White House inviting us to talk about fathers, a conference that's focused on dads. They're just always, like, again, another benefit of us kind of being out there in the world is that people know us, and we, brands want to work with us, researchers want to work with us. And so it just is, we've been able to keep it interesting. And that, for me, that's, I think, what I have appreciated most is certainly the friendships, certainly meeting people, but also this is my career now, for lack of a better term. I'm still an at-home dad, but we've created something here that I can be proud of, that I can call my, really put my professional energy towards, rather than going out and getting a different kind of job. Bottom line, it's hard.
It is hard.
The way that we've gone about it is to keep busting down the boundaries and make sure we try new things. We meet new people. Starting City Dads Group, going national, really was kind of the beginning of kind of the world is endless. There's always another place that could use a dad's group. So that there's always a piece of the puzzle that'll keep growing.
Are dad groups needed even after your child becomes a young adult? Like, do you phase out of a dad group, or is this something that you think fathers of all ages, no matter how old their kids are, if they're grown adults or not, they could still partake in and reap some value?
I mean, my kids are now 15 and 12, and I'm not going to the playground at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday to meet up with other dads. Mm-hmm. That would be a little weird.
A little crazy.
a little crazy. So I think it depends. I mean, you can find in it, or you can plan for what gives you energy. So that's how I've gone about it, is I create opportunities to still make it relevant. And other guys find us because they like those opportunities. So we had an opportunity to visit to interview Malala's dad. And that wasn't, I mean, Malala is an adult now. She just graduated from Oxford, but hearing him talk about fatherhood and compare notes on fatherhood with him was something that was a benefit to dads with newborns all the way up to dads and grandfathers. So, I think we continue to try to keep it relevant. There are some things that are focused on dads with little kids, but, as you know, the hard stuff, the tough stuff starts a lot later than that. So having this community to lean on and compare notes with and talk to on our podcast, read about on our blog, is important. And that's, again, how I've kept it relevant for myself. And I think other guys have appreciated that.
Yeah, I don't think you ever outgrow learning, right? Like I don't think you ever outgrow that. And I think with dads, like you just said, as the kids get older, your role as a father changes. And if for me, I was nervous from day one, I'm still nervous. Like everything is still new, you know, my son turning 14, going to high school as a freshman, you know, has to do it remotely. That's scary, man. Because I remember high school for myself. I remember how crazy and rambunctious I was. And it's like, man, like, I don't know how to handle this. So it's good to have a dad's group where now I could talk to people who have done it. Where they might not have all the answers. The answers might not be right. But there's some guidance there. Like, you could actually learn from some experiences.
Well, and we're all in uncharted territory at this point. But just recognizing that we're not in this alone. And I think that can be a sad road to be on if you feel like you have nobody to turn to. And it's not turned to necessarily for answers. It could be turned to just for a conversation and to compare notes.
That's huge. I mean, that's huge, Matt. That's huge. I want to go back to that. I want to stick on that right there. That's huge. I think that us as males, sometimes we are afraid to ask, right? Ask for help. I think that's a real, real benefit of the dad's group. Like I mentioned earlier, I could put up a question on a forum and get an answer. But I think the real cool thing is that when you're in a dad group, there's always that one dad that's willing to jump on the phone and talk to you, even if they don't have the answer. Yeah. It's just to have somebody to speak to, because sometimes for somebody like me, speaking to my mom every day isn't going to help me. She helps me a lot. Right. I talk to her every day. I make sure that she's good. But she can't guide me on fatherhood. She could guide me on motherhood and how to be a great parent, but she can't guide me on fatherhood. So sometimes I just need another father to talk to. Why do you think it's hard for fellas to confide in another male? Is it pride? Is it being judged? Is it a combination of those things? Like, why do you think people have trouble?
There's people a lot smarter than I am that talk about kind of how we grow up in this box, this man box, and we're not supposed to need anybody else. We're supposed to be self-sufficient, and we're supposed to be able to handle whatever comes at us on our own. And
we're supposed to suffer alone.
Or get over it. Like we're not allowed to have emotions beyond anger. We're not allowed to worry. We're not allowed to cry. We're not allowed to do anything. And that's the way that we were raised. And I think that's changing. And I mean, by the way, once we get guys together in a room, they're aching to talk. I mean, not aching in a bad way, but they love telling stories. They love comparing notes. They really want to hear what other people are going through, and they want to talk about what they're going through. We sat down so many times, and I think another piece of our puzzle is we don't frame a meetup as like a support group or a session where we're going to talk. Our boot camps are one thing, but a regular meetup hanging out at the playground is that's the expectation that you should have going in. Certainly a lot more than that can happen. Comparing notes with the guy as you're standing, pushing your kids on the swing certainly will happen, but it's these we create the foundation for guys to break out of that comfort zone and say, hey, I see you're feeding your kid blueberries. My wife tells me I'm not allowed to feed my kid blueberries because they're too small and he might choke, blah, blah, blah. How did you get over that? And you get to see a guy taking care of his kid. You say, oh, that guy's doing it. He's going to be comfortable answering my questions. So, and that's meanwhile why we do things in person. Like some point along the way, we could have said, let's create a virtual dads group and do everything online. But you know that being in person with somebody is so much better, so much different than it is to kind of go back and forth on Facebook. And nothing wrong with being on Facebook. And thank goodness we have these forums and places to compare notes online. But there's nothing like being together with a person in real life.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And I think once you connect with a dad through a group, you start noticing that it's okay to open up your mouth. You know, it's okay for you to ask these questions and you shouldn't feel foolish. Like, I think that's a big thing for males where it's like, I can't ask for advice. I don't want to let this guy know that what he's doing is dope because I don't want to take away that shine from myself. Like, it's almost like a selfish feeling. And it's like, no, it's actually okay for you to shine a light and tell this person, hey, what you're doing is awesome. I'm learning from you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No, I think that's the thing. Like, somebody else asked a question that you might have wanted to ask that gives you permission to ask a different question. Like, you just see these guys and opening up. You get that sense that it can be a comfortable environment and you're not going to get judged and you come back next time.
I mean, I think it's crazy because when I go to like fatherhood conferences or events, like there's certain people like ourselves that'll go stand and talk to others. It took me a while to do that, to be able to speak to everybody else. But what I've noticed is that once you start talking to one or two people, a crowd forms. Mm-hmm. Where now everybody jumps in and says, oh, yeah, like you're doing that with your son. I had to do the same thing. And now everybody's giving their input, but nobody's feeling left out. And I think that's the beauty of a fatherhood group where, like you said earlier, the dads already are accepting their role as fathers. They want to be great. And then once you start talking to them, they open up. Now everybody is of value to each other. Like, it's not one-sided. Like, some people look at a group and they think of it as a gang. There's a leader. Here, there is no leader.
Nope.
It's all dads that want to be better. That's it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So how do you think COVID has changed the need of a dads group? Do you think you guys are needed more now than ever, or is it still the same?
Well, it's a hard question because whether we're needed now more than ever or not is one thing, but our ability... We've got 41 groups around the country now, all led by local organizers, all going through this themselves. So you have to be in the right place. You have to be beyond, okay, I'm safe, my family's safe, comfortable, everything's taken care of. Now I'm going to spend some of my time reaching out to my community of dads. So some guys... are in that space. They're planning meetups online. They're planning meetups even in person in a socially distanced, masked way. And they're happy to continue leading their group and be that resource for their group. But other guys are not. Guys have lost their jobs. Guys have had COVID themselves. Guys have had loved ones pass away. And they're not in a space to serve their community, to be there for their group. And we know that. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. We want to support those guys as much. So we continue to frame what the national organization does as kind of creating this foundation for each of the cities. We've got your launch pad. You need to take it from here. And some of the groups in any circumstances take it and run with it. Other groups struggle. These circumstances make it that much harder. So, there's no question that we could all use a community and connection right now. In some cities, we're delivering on that. In other cities, we're just not there right now. But the good thing about all of our groups. And I mean, we go through kind of these cycles where we say, oh, this group hasn't had a meetup for 6 months. What should we do? Should we shut it down, or should we kind of try to find, re-energize? And members kind of forgive. And once we find somebody to take over and bring the group back to life, the group definitely comes back to life. It's happened in many circumstances. So it's a long answer, but I want to be real. It's hard under normal circumstances to lead one of these groups and give beyond yourself, give beyond your family when it's already a struggle just to manage those things. Mm-hmm. And these circumstances make it that much harder.
Yeah, I think with COVID around, I think you guys are needed much more. Not just for the fathers that want to join a group, but for the facilitators of the groups. Like, I think we all need a healthy distraction. You know, something that'll keep our minds working outside of the everyday norms or the troubles. Because I think we as fellas and as fathers, we take the troubled times and we just like, it's almost like compound interest. Like, it just keeps compounding every day instead of going backwards. So by you taking the time to talk to another dad or leading a group of dads, you know, you block yourself out. You throw yourself in a little silo where now you could just forget about the good. You could forget about the bad times and focus on the good times. And I think that you guys are needed way more now than ever. Now, the last question I'm going to ask you, as your kids are older, right? How are you making sure that fatherhood is still lit?
Good question. I think what has energized me for as long as they've been alive is experiencing life with them. I'm not trying to live my life through them, but being able to be with them as they are discovering the world is amazing. And that gets even better as they get older. Then following them as they pursue their interests. We live in New York City, like the world is endless in things that we can do and see and experience. And that, I think it's just amazing to continue that journey and grow with them. And a lot of people like worry about when their kids are no longer going to be with them in their house and all of that. But I'm excited for where they're going and what they're doing and get to be part of that journey.
I love it. I love it. I love it because I think that's the same way that's the same answer I want in the future. Like, yes, I do live through my kids every now and then, especially with the fun events. But as they get older, all I want to do is continue to be next to them, you know, continue to grow with them, seeing them grow. I think I take pride just seeing my kids grow, you know, and I think that's how fatherhood would always be lit, because I get to see them grow, you know.
Well, and you want them to be better than you, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, my 15-year-old, like, beats me in games all the time now, and in one moment it drives me nuts, and then I think, wow, that's pretty good.
Hey, you raised them right. No mercy.
Exactly. Well, I never gave them any mercy, so they're not giving me any mercy now.
I love it, man. You know, thank you so much for hopping on this phone call with me, but also your devotion for dads, man. Like, that, you know, a lot of people speak about it. You know, I'm known around the internet now for saying to people, you know, they sell T-shirts. We actually impact people's lives. You're one of those people that actually impact people's lives. And I have to thank you on behalf of the whole community and fathers worldwide, man. Like, you guys are doing incredible work. Thank you so much.
Well, coming from you, that means a lot, because I know you've got an eye on all of this and how it all works. And I said this to you over text. I'm glad to be in this with you. I'm glad you are part of what we do, and look forward to all that we have left to do together.
So what's the best way that that fathers could join the group or follow along?
Our website, citydadsgroup.com, has all the links to our blog, our podcast, and all of our 41 groups.
Yeah, yep. You can follow them there, or even Instagram, man. You guys, I know you guys are more about
all the
impact.
Social media too.
Yeah, you guys are all about impact, but you guys are online too. Let's get it. All right.
We are online, and I think it's been fun to to show the world, and it's changed a lot in the 12 years we've been doing this, what the world thinks of dads. And it's like marketers think about the commercials 12 years ago that featured dads as buffoons that couldn't handle changing a diaper. And now we have guys out there building changing tables in men's restrooms. So
we've
come a long way.
That's right. That's the real impact, man. That's why I tell people, stop trying to sell T-shirts. Go out there, do the groundwork, and make a real impact.
T-shirts can be a good reminder about stuff, but that's probably not a good place to end it.
Hey, anybody that wears a number one dad shirt, I'll challenge you any day to a face off. All right, because I could have a number one dad shirt too. Let's see who makes the most impact. That's what fatherhood is all about: making an impact, raising your kids, and showing the world that yo, we here. Dads are here. We're not buffoons. We put in work.
We are not.
And sometimes we're actually better than mom. Moms, please don't hate me, but sometimes it's true. You know, we have our good days and our bad days. So thank you, Matt. Thank you so much once again, man. I truly appreciate your time, and I look forward to what we're going to do after COVID, man. You know, I look forward to taking
and
over the
even
world
even during COVID.
That's right.
We've had a few good moments during COVID. We better enjoy, find ways to enjoy this time, because we're going to be in this for a while longer.
Yep, we're here. And with a dad group, you'll never be alone. So to the community, we dads are gangsters. We could do it all, but sometimes we need to take a step back and either ask for help or join a dad's group just to be able to socialize. Whatever reasons you have for joining a dad group, do it. It might be the best thing you ever did. It sure was for me. Thank you, Matt, once again. Let's get it. Fatherhood is lit.